All right, here we go again, Big Z Sports Pod. Wherever you're getting us once again, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, among others. Appreciate, as always, tuning on in, Big Z Sports Pod. Getting ready for week two of the NFL slate. Getting ready for the college game in the Big Ten to get things rolling. Getting started, good news, Midwest, where we're residing here in the Badger State. So excited. TV, so we watched all Thursday night. Watched the new game, Green Bay Packers. Discovered Red Zone on my service provider, YouTube TV. Fantastic. Got that just in time for the season opener. Doubleheader on Monday night. Of course, we watched the afternoon slate, Brady Breeze. Dove into the doubleheader on Monday night football. Rewatched Chargers Bengals. And saw some Bears and Lions and throughout the better part of the last 2.5 quarters of that one. So, fantastic. All sorts of football stuff. Can't wait to dive into week number two. Coming out of week number one, getting right after it here in the Big Z Sports Pod. As always, glad to have you aboard here in the program. It was obvious. Veteran quarterbacks, to me, owned week one of the NFL. No crowd noises for the better part of the 16 home games. Better part, 14 of them, didn't have any crowds. We saw some on the opener Chiefs game. Loud. I thought it was fairly loud for only 16, 17,000 in attendance. Didn't think it mattered, though. Chiefs, dynamic as ever, albeit just one game. And we got to remember that, put things into perspective, just one game. But my biggest takeaways, amongst other things, veteran quarterbacks and returning coach-quarterback combinations, outstanding. Go down the line, winners. Kansas City, returning Super Bowl champs, coach, quarterback, together again. Green Bay Packers, they went over the Vikings with relative ease. Away, but no real resistance there once they figured out to get touchdowns instead of field goals. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, second year of an offense, they flourished in a big way. The Bears, that one maybe a little bit subjective there, but yeah, Mitchell Trubisky did return. His team with Matt Nagy did get the win. New England, a little bit out of the abnormal side of things for this past Sunday. But Seahawks, dominant, Russell Wilson, as well as Pete Carroll. Even Gardner Minshew, Doug Marrone, instead of Reich and Rivers combination. Lamar dominates with Baltimore. They're going to dominate everybody. Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, Carr and Gruden. You take a look to the likes of Arizona, Murray and Kingsbury, Breeze and Peyton, Goff and McVay. And even on Monday Night Football, in terms of the two matchups, Tennessee and Pittsburgh getting the job done. Kicker is a big story in that last game of the week. But nonetheless, veteran quarterbacks, they look fantastic. If I had to rate right now the top three quarterbacks in no particular order, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. That's the order I would put them in, even though I think this year is going to be Russell Wilson's turn to win the MVP. But Aaron Rodgers looked fine. And to dive deeper into that one here right off the get-go, because of course, here in the Dairy State, that's what we get. That's what we watch to pay attention to the most amongst anything. Aaron Rodgers, all the talk this offseason, myself included, what are they doing drafting Jordan Love? What are they doing? He wasn't, I tweeted out before the game, wasn't even active for the season opener, first-round draft pick in an era of quarterbacks and getting these guys in the field, sub-packages, not even active for the game day roster. No Jordan Love. Waste the pick. Packers apparently don't need him through one game, through one week. But the identity was shown. Packers want to run the football. Aaron Jones even said during the telecast they want to limit his touches. Jamal Williams became a factor early on. Yards per carry, not going to be what Aaron Jones's are. A.J. Dillon, I think, will be more of a force, kind of a thunder-lightning aspect with Jones and Dillon when they get things rolling here and humming along a little bit, as long as they can keep that offensive line going. But then you add in the pass protection, the catching ability. Jamal Williams was third or fourth in catches and yards and receiving touchdowns a year ago. Packers love what Jamal Williams brings to the table, and it's obvious. And they bring in Tyler Irvin, who's going to be their gadget guy. Him and Alan Lazar will be their reverse guys, their shovel passes. When was the last time in Wisconsin you saw the shovel pass, that little tip pass receiver coming in motion, that little jet? You saw, what, three or four times, twice in the first two or three possessions from the Packers? It looks a little slow developing because it is the Packers and we haven't seen it before, but that's an added dimension that nobody's ever had to prepare for the Packers. Matt LaFleur is showing, improving through one week, The receivers were not the problem last year. It's implementing his offense, getting the right pieces, getting the right type of guys in his spots. And that was with a banged-up offensive line. Their potentially all-pro left guard was started out at right tackle in Elgton Jenkins. You lose your starting guards, both of them, Link Taylor and Lucas Patrick, go out. You move Jenkins back inside, and then you gotta fix the left side of the right side of the line, there, and bring in a rookie, John Runyon. Although great pedigree, you know, he was fired up a little bit anxious for his season opener to take place. Now, the Vikings, don't get this twisted. The Vikings, their defense, would they have five returners on the defensive side, six new starters? And they just traded for a guy, Yannick Ngakoue, who didn't play a whole lot. They lost Everson Griffin to free agency. Didn't want to re-sign him for the price tag. Can't blame him there. Now, the other guy, Danielle Hunter, Thursday, Friday of the week, gets placed on IR. So you're starting a whole new defensive front for Mike Zimmer. He'll get that figured out. On the back end, you got young corners with a couple of veteran safeties. Yes, Harrison Smith is still there. He's a stud. Eric Kendricks in the middle. He's still a beast for Minnesota. But so many moving parts in that Vikings defense are only going to get better. Dalvin Cook wasn't as much of a factor as the Vikings, partly because they didn't have possession of the football. Packers want to do what we talked about previously. They want to ground and pound. They want to run the football. They want to play that San Francisco ball control. They want to be the ones that dictate tempo, dictate who has the football and how often or little that their defense has to be on the field. Although it looked good, 34 points allowed. I know that doesn't look spectacular, but their defense was flying around, making plays, and doing a much better job, albeit Kirk Cousins with a new offense in terms of only one weapon, Adam Thielen in the passing game, without the likes of Stephon Diggs, who got traded to Buffalo. All in all, Packers, Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers. MVS dropped a couple of would-be catches. Otherwise, it would have been even a bigger passer rating for Rodgers. That offense, I think, can flourish even more. And the more continuity they get on the offensive line, this Packer team could be. Everybody says they're going to take a step back. Myself included. I got them at 11-5 instead of 13-3. But you tell me, Detroit's a sexy pick. They turned out to be Detroit against the Bears. Rookie dropping DeAndre Swift dropping that touchdown in the end zone. That would have been the game winner. You allow Mitchell Trubisky to throw for three touchdowns. And this week, when we get to the pick segment here, Packers are going to go up against a very young, inexperienced, and depleted Lions secondary. If Trubisky was able to do that against the Lions this past week, Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, watch out. It could be a big day for Rodgers and the offense against a depleted defense for the Detroit Lions. And Matt Patricia could be out of work sooner instead of later for these Lions club as they look perhaps to hit the reset button. If they get off to a poor start already, despite a very explosive offense, could be when everyone is healthy. Going on, some other things that stuck out. Patrick Mahomes, unbelievable. That offense looks more explosive, albeit one game. And the Houston Texans going over through some turnover. And let's go back on that one here. Everybody's given Bill O'Brien grief. How could you possibly trade DeAndre Hopkins? How could you possibly trade him for a running back? Well, did you see what Hopkins ended up getting with Arizona just before the season started? Upwards of $54 million guaranteed, no trade clause, no franchise tag. Absurd. Houston could not afford that. They just paid Tunsil. They just paid Watson. They signed all these other wide receivers to take the place of Hopkins. But Houston, you take a look at the pieces. All right, they put together a decent offensive line, a much, much better offensive line than when Deshaun Watson came to the team. You get David Johnson. Look healthy for the first time in years. Pair him up with Duke Johnson. Could be formidable. Johnson and Johnson and Watson sounds like a lawyering firm. You get the guys. Talk about the receiving position here. Instead of Hopkins and potentially Fuller and Stills at times, you lose DeAndre. Yes, that's a big blow. He was a beast of Arizona. But you got Will Fuller, explosive when healthy. Kenny Stills is a fourth option. You stick Randall Cobb, all reliable in the slot, who wasn't even utilized in that first week against Kansas City. Just two catches, both on that last drive or two. And then you throw in a Brandon Cooks, if healthy. You're talking about speedsters. You're talking about getting rid of the football first, home run hitters. Deshaun Watson, he's the reason you get those four receivers. You get receiving backs with Johnson and Johnson. David Johnson perhaps being a little bit of a nail and a thunder and a hammer at some points for Houston when they get the lead. You saw Indianapolis lose. You saw Tennessee miss four kicks, not world beaters. And you saw Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew and Minshew mania already this year. Houston, everybody's taking a step back. Still see them in the postseason hunt. And potentially, if they can survive week two here against Baltimore, Watch out. This Texans team, give them a couple weeks with no offseason workouts, no get-togethers with a new offense. Give them time. I trust Deshaun Watson. I trust that Houston is going to figure things out, and they will be in the postseason. It expands a team. This Houston team is going to be something to watch. It could be what could be the marquee game, and I think the marquee game of the weekend. Houston and Baltimore in week two. A couple other thoughts. Mike McCarthy in Dallas losing to the LA Rams. I thought that was kind of this is what Dallas is. We always hype them up. We always get excited. They've got the weapons on offense. There's no excuses. Dak should be paid, or shouldn't he? Well, we kind of got the same old Cowboys. The same old Cowboys team that lost to Philadelphia week 16 a year ago when they had to win despite the Eagles being depleted. Now, I know the Eagles got beat by Washington after blowing a 17-point lead. A lot of injuries on that Philly side, both on the offensive line, still at the receiver spot, working some guys in and on the defensive side. But Dallas, for the most part, healthy. You lost a couple guys during the course of the game, but you still had Dak, Zeke, Tyron Smith. Yeah, you had Martin in there. You still had your three wide receivers. 17 points against an okay, slightly above average defense. And you kept Kellen Moore on staff to keep the language the same. There's no reason that Cowboys team should not be scoring more than 17 points in any game. I don't care who the defensive team they're going up against, that opposition, that offense, they should be putting up 17 points. Checkmark number one in terms of Dak Prescott, I believe, not being the quarterback going forward for the Dallas Cowboys, and potentially he could be kicking himself for not signing an extension, even if it was lower than he was looking for and what Dallas was offering. Watch out. I would not be surprised if it continues. Dallas is only averaging 20 points a game through the first 4 or 5 weeks. I know it's a lot of money you're paying Prescott, but do you think Jerry Jones, even Mike McCarthy, who didn't handpick Dak, could potentially hot take time. Andy Dalton. Yeah, the Red Rocket. Could we see Andy Dalton replace Dak Prescott of this offense with Cooper, Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, unable to put up more than 17 to 20 points a game, find themselves at 2-4, 1-3, 1-2, 0-3? Is it a short leash in Dallas? You know this is a must-win in terms of get to the postseason year for Dallas, first year or not for Coach McCarthy, pandemic or not. Jerry's not going to sit idly by. I would not hesitate to bet we could see Andy Dalton, if the offensive struggles continue much past week 2, 3, or 4. Not shocked at all. And you shouldn't be either. Andy Dalton, not just an insurance policy, not just coming home to Dallas. They've been compared against one another. They've compared Dak to Dalton in previous numbers. But Dak has got to be more dynamic. He's got to make the plays. He's the one that touches it every play. Whether he hands off or throws it, he's the one responsible for only 17 points, not getting the football to guys to get them in position to score. Russell Wilson looked like the MVP we thought he did. Atlanta, I think, is going to score a lot of points, but their defense still suspect. Philadelphia was a bit of a shocker. I don't think that happens an awfully lot. A couple of key drops in that game, what would have been first downs. Washington, their defense is good. Ron Rivera knows how to coach defense. That's no surprise. Dwayne Haskins was a bit of a surprise of that game. The likelihood of them coming back from that deficit, slim to none on a regular basis. I think Washington would be more competitive than folks give them credit for, but I thought that was a big Philly loss. Washington didn't win that one as much as Philly lost that one. Jacksonville, boy, Minshew Mania going to do all he can to prevent Jacksonville from getting Trevor Lawrence. Indianapolis, Phillip Rivers, he's got to be better. He's got to be better. $25 million, and that's what you get against Jacksonville. I know it's a new team, first game, jitters and all that good stuff. You got to be better. Baltimore, dominant. My pick to go to the Super Bowl by far. Buffalo, I thought, was a top five impressive team over the weekend. I know they played the Jets. Nothing fancy or flashy there, but just the way they carry them, conduct themselves, go about their business. Josh Allen, he's not going to win an MVP. He's not going to be in that discussion very often. But he is perfect for what Sean McDermott and the Bills want to do. They understand his strengths. They know his weaknesses. They limit his weaknesses. He can throw it a country mile. They go out. They have John Brown already. They go out and get Stephon Diggs, a home run hitter. A guy that can also run the intermediate routes. Be that go-to guy in crunch time. 8 grabs, game one. Josh Allen going to run around and make plays. I like this Buffalo team a lot. Even if Cam Newton is playing like he did this past Sunday, I still like what the Bills are going to be able to do. I think they figure out a way to continue this and move on into a NFC or an AFC East title position. Even if Cam plays as Cam does. Cam hasn't proven to stay healthy, though, over the course of his career. Coming off some bad injuries, Cam was impressive. Miami's going to improve. That second meeting between the Dolphins and Pats could be a lot different, especially if Tua is at the quarterback spot. All in all, Joe Burrow looked fantastic. That Raiders-Panthers game was fun. The Browns are going to be the Browns until they come up with a true identity and stick with it. Their identity is ground and pound. Chubb, Hunt, they got two tight ends. I believe in Joku, though, getting banged up. That's a big loss. They still got Hooper and Harris in there. I like the Browns a lot, but they got to understand, and I think Kyle Stefanski is the guy that's going to get it done. I think he figures it out. It's one game, first game of a pandemic coming out of it. Baltimore is good. Baltimore is the class of the AFC with Kansas City. Perfect storm for Cleveland. I think they play a big way tonight. I think they get by Cincinnati with ease, even though Joe Burrow played fantastic. Short week for Burrow, short week for the Bengals, a young team. As we start our pick segment here, I like the Browns big tonight. Going up against the number, I got a -6 Cleveland. I'm taking the points. I'm taking Cleveland big by maybe two touchdowns tonight. Doesn't happen a lot in the NFL, two-touchdown victory. But I like the Browns big tonight for what it's worth. Packers and Lions, I'll take the Packers -6. I'll take the Packers. Nobody in the secondary that's going to slow down Devontae Adams this week for Detroit. I don't think their rush defense is good as what it showed against Chicago. I just don't think Chicago is a good running football team right now. Giants at Chicago. I got the Giants keeping it close. The 5.5, too much for the Bears to cover. I think the Bears might win this one, but I didn't like a lot what I saw to the Giants, although they played bad. Watch out for a team that plays bad the next week to come back. Dallas -4. I'm thinking Dallas shows up. If they don't, that's when the alarm goes off. We talked about Dak perhaps getting replaced. If they don't come out, they're going to have to score some points. I think they will, but if they don't, Red Rocket could be getting ready to loosen up. Titans at home against Jacksonville -9. I'll take the points in Tennessee. They're ground and pound. There's no way Gostkowski misses four kicks again. Minnesota, I'll take the points. They're a +3 at Indianapolis. I think the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, they figure it out a little bit. Give it to Dalvin Cook. Great start. Miami is a +6 hosting Buffalo. I'll take the points. Bills win this one. It'll be a close contest. Miami kept it close against New England. I think they will the same. San Francisco -7 despite the injuries. Boy, they had about as bad of a Sunday as anybody did this past weekend. I'm going to take the Jets to keep it close. Sam Darnold lets it loose. Richard Sherman out. All the receivers out for San Francisco. The Niners win. The Jets keep it close. Pick'em game, Rams and Eagles. I got the Rams. They just showed me too much on the offensive side of what they could be. And the injuries for Philadelphia, I think, haunts them one more week. Carolina's going to keep it close. They might even pull out the upset. If Godwin's banged up, he's in concussion protocol. Evans isn't 100%. And they didn't prove they could run the football that well in Tampa. Carolina to keep this one closer in the 8.5. Potentially spring the straight-up upset. Washington, I'll take the points. They're +7 at Arizona. A little emotional letdown here, I think, for Arizona, although they might win it. Kansas City +9 at the Chargers. I don't see the Chargers. I know it's a divisional rival. I know it's a divisional matchup. But this offense right now for the Chiefs is humming along. Baltimore -7. I'll take the points. +7 with Houston. Baltimore wins. Close. Deshaun Watson offense figures it out a little bit. A little more stout against the run. Seattle -4. I'd take the Seahawks by 7 at home against the Patriots in a Super Bowl rematch from a few years back. And New Orleans -6. No Mike Michael Thomas. Let's see here. They are going to be at Las Vegas. So I will take Vegas to keep it close in Vegas. But I think the Saints will win, barely. I got, I would not be surprised. Good old John Gruden figures this one out. So there's the picks for week number 2. And we're off and running with week 2 of the NFL season. How good is it to have football back? Huh? How good is it? How good did that feel? Pot of chili, couple of cheese spreads out, some cheese trays, some sausage, some Havarti with jalapeno, some Munster. How good did that feel? Some buttered crackers? God, that felt good. Week 2 NFL season getting started tonight, Thursday night, Battle of Ohio. Again, Browns big tonight. And here we go. Can't wait. Week 2, it won't be long. We'll be at the quarter pole, then the midway. It's rolling along. It's going to go fast, folks. I hope you enjoy it. just as much as I hope you enjoy the Big Z Pod. As always, subscribe, rate, review, share. Let me know what you're thinking. Find me on Twitter as well. And we'll keep this rolling all season long and keep it going here. Hey, two kids, it's tough. It's a lot of fun. But to join you each and every week, every opportunity I can, let's keep things going here. Week 2, football.